I hope you will join with me in turning in your pew Bible to page 156 in the New Testament for 1 Corinthians 1, verses 20 through 31. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolishness the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demanded signs and Greeks desired wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and a foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards, and not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Jesus Christ, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Thanks be to God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We come to our gospel lesson for this morning, and out of respect and tradition for the gospel, please stand if you can. The reading comes from Matthew 21, verses 1 through 5. It can be found in the Pew Bible in the New Testament, page 21, or I do believe it will be on the big screen. So, hear these words. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately. This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So like I said yesterday, when Peter called, he gave me the scripture for the lectionary, but he also told me that he wanted to use that because he had a sermon prepared for it. So I said, okay. And since I have no idea what this sermon is going to be on or about or which direction he's going, I didn't want to step on any of his toes, much less have him step on mine. So, I have picked a different scripture, and for my topic. So I'm departing from the lectionary a little bit, so bear with me, and hopefully this will be edifying. My scripture today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 3, verses 1 through 3. And the title of my sermon is If. Hear these words. If I speak in tongues of human beings and of angels, but I don't have love, I am a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I know all the mysteries and everything else, and if I have such complete faith that I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give away everything that I have and hand over my own body to feel good about what I've done, but I don't have love, I will receive no benefit whatsoever. If I have no compassion on my fellow servant, even as my Lord had pity on me, then I know nothing of Calvary love. If I belittle those whom I am called to serve, if I adopt a superior attitude, then I know nothing of Calvary love. If I can enjoy a joke at the expense of another, if I can in any way slight another in conversation or even in thought, then I know nothing of Calvary love. If I can write an unkind letter, speak an unkind word, think an unkind thought without grief and shame, then I know nothing of Calvary love. If I do not forget about such trifle as personal success so that it never crosses my mind, or if it does, it is never given a moment's room there. If the cup of spiritual flattery tastes sweet to me, then I know nothing of Calvary love. If in the fellowship of service I seek to attach a friend to myself so that others are caused to feel unwanted, if my friendship do not draw others deeper in, but are ungenerous, then I know nothing of Calvary love. If I slip into that place that can be filled by Christ alone, making myself the first necessity to a soul instead of leading it to fasten upon Him, then I know nothing of Calvary love. If the burdens of others are not my burdens too, and their joys mine, then I know nothing of Calvary love. If when an answer I did not expect comes to a prayer, which I believe I truly meant, I shrink back from it. If the burden my Lord asked me to bear is not the burden of my heart's choice, and I fret inwardly and do not welcome His will, then I know nothing of Calvary love. Here then is the vital question for us. Will we pay the price to see Jesus as we need to see Him, as He would have us see Him? Are we willing to live for Him, to put Him first, to do His will, be what it may, lead where it will? Right here is the supreme battle of the Christian life. It is the battle between Christ and self. The self-centered life will not see Jesus. The Christ-centered life will exult in the victory that overcomes the world. If